Member of the Coalition to Save the Ridgeland Dogs arrested at the action this weekend in Wisconsin. That does it for our show. Tonight I'll be at the Tower Theater in Sacramento for a Q&A after the screening of Steal This Story, Please. Tomorrow, Thursday, I'll be introducing the film at the Roxy in San Francisco and the Rialto Elmwood in Berkeley. Then at the Seattle International Film Festival, Uptown Cinema in Seattle. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
As Americans, there's one thing we can all agree on: the promise of our Constitution and the hope that liberty and justice is for all people. But here's the truth. Attacks on our constitutional rights, yours and mine, are greater than they've ever been. The right for all to vote, reproductive rights, the rights of immigrant families, the right to equal justice for Black, Brown, and LGBTQ plus folks.
We protect everyone's rights, the freedom of religion, the freedom of expression, racial justice, LGBTQ rights, the rights of the disabled. We are here for everyone.
For over 100 years, the ACLU has fought on behalf of millions of Americans, protecting our vote and our voice. I believe in the ACLU because they're for real. To learn more about how the ACLU is fighting for your rights and mine, go to myaclu.org today.
That's right, today. It's Tuesday, April 21st, 2026, 6 p.m. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's time for another edition of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi, I'm Kyle.
Yes, and you're currently monitoring to make sure that we stay on the air, because I know we've had some difficulty over the past couple of days with our connectivity. So we're watching very carefully.
Well, I don't think it's us.
No,
it's
not us.
We're upholding our end of the bargain.
So far, we've narrowed it down to it's not the remote end and it's not the station end. It's something else. Except I don't know what else there is, but we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But right now, we're good. Right now, we're pretty good. Which is more than I can say for our esteemed leaders. My God. It's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. Did you follow the news today?
Well, I was just going to say that there's stuff that you, like, I see on a highlights or on a show, like a news program, where you tell me and I'm like, is that real? Did they really say that? Like, I'm surprised sometimes, like, by the phrasings and things that I miss.
Yeah.
When they're sort of revealed after the fact, and
you can't tell truth from fiction anymore.
Yeah, I'm like, is that a joke or that's part of the real thing that happened? I mean, I don't know.
And I enjoy telling people things that are fake, you know, fake news. Like, you know, I invented that a long time ago. Just telling people that, you know, like, you know, a salmonella is a female salmon, things like that. You know, I like telling people things that they might believe for a while and get into real trouble with. But now things happen and I have to convince people, no, that really happened. That's real. I'm not making this up. And, you know, it's like the boy who cried wolf. Nobody believes me. So what's happening now? J.D. Vance, the vice president of this country, I almost feel sorry for this guy because he was supposed to go over to, Pakistan again? To have a second round of negotiations with Iran, who, I got to tell you, Iran is really twisting the United States around its fingers, if that's the right phrase, because, they hold a lot of the cards. They hold most of the cards. All we can do is threaten to bomb them and just look really, really bad. And what they can do is strategically kick our ass, like, you know, close the Strait of Hormuz, which suddenly everybody knows about. Yeah, that was a thing. That's been a thing for quite a long time. If you listen to leaders before this regime, you will have heard them say why it's not a good idea to attack Iran because of the Strait of Hormuz. But okay, so we did it anyway. And now, they're closing something that was never closed before. And causing all kinds of turmoil throughout the world. So we kind of gave them that power. Now they have it. They're not going to relinquish it. And it's very hard for us to take that power away from them. So Vance was supposed to head over for another humiliating round of talks with them. We can bomb them. Sure, we can do that. We can kill all their people and destroy their infrastructure and commit all kinds of war crimes. But somehow, even after doing all that, we don't win. We don't win. They actually wind up looking good when compared to the things that we're doing. And this is a horrible regime over there. It's a terrible regime. But they're kind of outsmarting our regime at the moment. Not too hard to do, I know. But so Vance was supposed to get on the plane, and he didn't get on the plane because he realized there was nobody there to talk to him. Yeah, Iran was not sending a delegation. You know, it made you really feel bad for him because nobody wants to talk to him. And Trump keeps humiliating him, you know, blaming him for things. What's his first name? Does anybody know? What does the J stand for? John? Jim? Jimbo? No? Okay, I'll just say, J.D., it's pathetic, but, you know, you made your bed. And, now you got to deal with the ramifications of that.
Isn't there speculation that that's, like, kind of a setup to just make him look bad or just be the scapegoat?
Because that's how they play the game.
Yeah, because there's no interest in some sort of cohesive front for the administration. Whereas in a normal U.S. presidency, the vice president would help with help shape and help translate the president's
right.
Basically their outward message and make it real in policy. Yeah.
Policy, strategic.
Reinforce it.
Yeah. But all in the this big case, words.
He's just kind of cleaning up or doing kind of damage control.
I will never understand why people bow down to dictators, but this is a good reason why they shouldn't. Okay, so Viktor Orban is gone, but now, have you heard about this, Kyle? Bulgaria just had elections, and apparently the party that is anti-Europe is getting into power. So as soon as you get rid of, who was the guy in West Virginia, the senator that was the bane of our existence for so many years? Did we all forget his name? You know who I'm talking about, right? The guy who was voting with Republicans everywhere. You don't know his name either.
Yeah, I do.
What's his name, please?
Share. Joe Manchin.
Joe Manchin, thank you. I forgot. As soon as you get rid of Manchin, you get a Fetterman. And that's what happened here. We got rid of the Hungarian right-wing pro-Putin, pro-Trump party, and now that's moving into play in Bulgaria. We couldn't even get 1 week, not having to worry about this kind of thing. I don't know. Maybe it won't be as bad as what I saw in one of the newscasts. But yeah, that's something to look forward to. What else has happened? Okay. How do I begin? You know, I don't like to use bad words on the radio. I really don't. I like to approach this with a degree of decorum and maturity. You know, it's important for people to be mature. We discussed this. But sometimes there are no other words to describe things. I try to avoid, using the F word, the four-letter word. But sometimes there is just no other way to describe what's going on. And so, with apologies to our listeners, I have to say, FIFA, my God, what are they doing to us? FIFA is, of course, the Fédération Internationale de Football Association. The coolest thing about them is when you say their name. And that's it. They're the global body. They're the ones that run the World Cup. And everybody else is below them. UEFA, UEFA, the Europeans, CONCACAF here in the Americas. They're all part and parcel. But FIFA, they're the big dogs. And you'd think that would be enough, You'd think that would allow them to operate with some, how do I say this? Integrity. Yeah, integrity. Remember that word? And everything I read about them just pisses me off. I would have liked to have seen a World Cup match since it's coming to the United States. And I thought, being somebody who lives in the United States, I might have a shot at that. But if you registered, made your ID, made your account, got all the crap that they sent by email, trying to get you to buy hospitality packages, tens of thousands of dollars, so that you would have a chance to see one of the games, or you could pay them a lot of money and bet on a team and say, Poland might make it to the final, so here's several thousand dollars, and if they make it to the final, I have a chance of getting a ticket. Not a ticket. I have a chance of getting a ticket to the final. And no, I don't get the $1,000 back or however much money it is. I don't know how much. There are so many financial swindles going on with FIFA that it makes your head swim. It really does. Now, keep in mind, FIFA, they're the organization that gave Trump the fake Nobel Prize, whatever that was, the Peace Prize, the FIFA Peace Prize. They made it up for him, just to get on his good side. And it makes sense because the way they operate is exactly the way Trump operates. I never realized that until I saw them up close and personal. You know, you try and just buy a ticket to a match. It is literally impossible because they limit things to a degree where no human being can actually ever type fast enough to get into whatever service they're offering at the moment. And even if you do get in, the prices are so astounding. You know, you see these games on television, you know, stadiums that are full of people. And it's hard to believe that all those people paid thousands of dollars each just to have a seat. Well, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's really what happened, but that's what they are trying to do here with this particular series of matches. If you click on their latest round, there have been so many rounds, and most of them average people never get access to. But the latest one, you'll see, I think there was a match at Meadowlands. I think it was Norway versus Suriname. Forgive me if I got that wrong. Okay, who wants to see Norway versus Suriname? Well, apparently everybody in the world does. Well, I saw the opening price was $60 for a ticket. And, you know, I was like, $60 for, yeah, you know what? It's the World Cup. Why not? And so, you know, I waited for an hour for this little timer thing to count down. You know, you have to put your whole life on hold. And then it goes to zero. Nothing happens for a while. Eventually, after about 20 minutes of uncertainty, I get access. Now, I only have 20 minutes to buy something. And if I don't buy something in 20 minutes, I get kicked out. It's not, you know, activity. No, buy something. Give us money or you're out. You know, it's like Disney on Quaaludes. It's too much. It's too much for anyone to deal with. So anyway, okay, so I'm looking at this Norway-Suriname match. And okay, show me the $60. There is no $60. There never was a $60. The minimum is $600. And I know that because they have a little bar that says the maximum you're willing to pay, the minimum you're willing to pay. And you can't go below 600. It won't let you. There never was a setting for that. I didn't try and figure out how high I could go, but that's who they are catering to, are the people who can spend $10,000 to see a single game. Now, that's bad enough. You know, that's just getting a ticket to the match. But now there are all these other issues that people are starting to wake up to. I think the one we all heard about last week was the train fare to the stadium in East Rutherford, which usually is about, what, $15 or something? I'm not sure if it's one way or round trip. Doesn't really matter. They have boosted that to $150 now. Now, it's not FIFA that did this. It's the state of New Jersey that did this. It's the governor, actually, of the state of New Jersey that insisted on this. The newly elected governor, in fact. And the reason she did this was because of the terms of the deal that was signed with FIFA by previous administrations. Don't know exactly who's responsible for this, Chris Christie, somebody else. Doesn't really matter at this point. It's when you look at the deal, what FIFA demands, you realize how corrupt they are. Now, the issue of security, for instance. You know, when you have an event, like, say, a Taylor Swift concert or something, or even a Super Bowl, the people who are putting the event on pay for security. Not so in the case of FIFA. They don't have to pay a penny. They don't have to pay anything because their contract says they don't have to. The contracts with all the cities say explicitly that the host cities are responsible for providing stadium infrastructure, transportation, and public safety / security. Now, also in a standard concert or NFL game, the host gets a share of ticket surcharges or parking revenue to help pay for the cops. For the World Cup, FIFA keeps nearly all ticket and top-tier sponsorship revenue, leaving cities to find their own ways to pay for everything else. So in other words, they get almost all of the profits, and we're talking billions of dollars here. And none of that is shared. It seems almost unbelievable. It's such an incredibly bad deal. Why would any city sign up for this? And the reason they sign up for this is because, well, if the tourists do come, there'll be a lot of them and they'll spend a lot of money. And that's great. But in the case of East Rutherford, New Jersey, and I don't mean anything by this, there's not a whole lot to do in East Rutherford except go to a game at the stadium. But then the game ends, and then what do you do after that? What's there to do in East Rutherford? You know, could wander around, look at the swamp and all, watch cars go by. Or what's that in the distance? That's a city in the distance. Look at that. Why don't we go there? Why don't we go to New York City? And that's what they do. They go to New York City, and they spend their money in New York City. They stay in New York City. And New York City benefits from that. And guess who doesn't? East Rutherford doesn't. The state of New Jersey doesn't. Yeah, it's a really, really, really bad deal for New Jersey. I don't know why it was ever agreed to in the first place. Now, there is a train that goes to the stadium. And we took it once to a Jets game. And it's kind of neat. It's a dead end line. You know, it only goes there and then goes back. It doesn't go beyond there. And you would think that would be the solution, but the problem is that there's all this security that needs to be basically executed for anybody that gets on that train, and that has to be paid for. And there are all kinds of employees that are now on overtime because they have to transport something like 40,000 people to the stadium for each game. I think there are 8 games total. It's like the Super Bowl times more than 8, really, because each one of these is bigger than the Super Bowl. So all that has to be paid for, not one penny of which comes from FIFA. In fact, FIFA, in the original agreement, said you have to provide free transportation. Yeah, you have to. And for many countries, that's not a big deal because in many countries, particularly Western Europe and in the Middle East, countries pay for these things. You know, it's considered almost a right that you should be able to get around. You know, here, We try to dismantle rail systems, and for some reason we let them fall into disrepair. In other places, it's like oxygen. You have to have this. And so it's easy to just run more trains. It's subsidized to a degree we could not ever understand. Kind of like our highways, you know? They are constantly being repaired. Nobody ever argues about that. Oh, and I neglected to mention one other important thing. Why is everybody taking the train? Because FIFA decided they want all the parking spaces at the stadium. So normally you would have thousands and thousands and thousands of people parking and walking to the stadium. Can't do that. Can't do that. Mm-mm. They want the parking spaces for themselves, for media, for security. Not for fans, no. Not for you. And so that means the only way to get to the stadium is by train or by some kind of a shuttle. And all of these are incredibly expensive. And the reason the train is going to be $150 for a 15-minute ride, I believe that's round trip. I'm not entirely sure. At this point, it doesn't even matter. But that has to be paid for. All that has to be paid for. So who's going to pay for it? Well, either the taxpayers of New Jersey have to pay for that, or the people going to the game have to pay for that. I think the latter makes more sense. You know, why should people who have no interest in this have to pay a huge amount when they never wanted to be part of it in the first place?
Yeah, it's an honest way to assess the fees and the costs associated with it. And just as long as you're clear about it, how could you really be upset?
Well, I mean,
it's the least they could do. Is set it up so in a transparent way that's like, look, this is what it's going to cost. So this is what we're setting it at. We're not going to put this burden on other consumers, on other people that aren't going to be participating in these events.
Yeah. And Governor Mickey Schirrell is the new governor of New Jersey. And she's not having this because, you know, she didn't agree to it. And she inherited this. It was a stupid deal. And that is that's why people are so upset by this, because it seems to have been come out of nowhere. But basically, they were counting on the federal government to pay a lot more for this to be considered an event that the federal government would back, and that has not been the case. This year, it was revealed how little they are going to be contributing, which means that, you know, the states, the cities, they have to cover this somehow. Now, in places where there's lots and lots of space, like, you know, Kansas City, Houston, places like that, it's easy because, you know, anything could be a parking lot, and things are just generally cheaper out there. But in condensed, packed cities, this becomes much more difficult, especially with the way things are run in this country. So, okay, no parking. You can't park, so you have to take the train or take a bus or take a shuttle. And the train itself is not an example of price gouging, I don't think. It's an example of covering costs. And I believe the total amount that needs to be covered is over $40 million. Just, you know, a bill handed to New Jersey. Here's the thing. I mentioned New York before. I mentioned how New York benefits from all this. Now, Kathy Hochul, our governor, made a you know, kind of a catty remark about how, yeah, that's a very expensive fee to charge for a train. But here's the thing. Our state, New York, is benefiting from this in ways that New Jersey is not, and not paying for it in any way. Because what are the expenses? What are the expenses? We don't have to run the trains. The stadium is not in our state. You know, just let the tourists in, let them spend their money and hotel fees and all that kind of thing. It would be easy. It would be negligible. Nobody would feel it to take some of the tourist revenue from hotel fees and all kinds of other fees and simply cover that $40 million. And then people wouldn't have to pay. And it would be a really, really nice gesture, I think. But these are politicians. They will never do that. But the whole thing is just such a sign of corruption and greed, you know? And I have no desire anymore to go to one of these things, because if you do, you're just going to be preyed upon nonstop. You know, whether it's driving somewhere, there's a mall a mile away from this place, you know, a shopping mall, regular shopping mall. They are charging $250 to park your car during any of the games. $250. And somehow that's being tolerated. Everyone's complaining about the train. Actually, people in New Jersey aren't complaining about the train because they're saving all their tax dollars. But the people who are having to park in this mall, they are really being victimized. And this kind of behavior just is wrong. You know, you can compare the way things were last time the World Cup was in this in the United States and see just how things have changed in this country. Now, in 1994, Soccer matches at the Meadowlands used the standard New Jersey Transit fare structure of the time. A round trip from Penn Station to the Meadowlands cost about $7.50. Now, adjusted for inflation, that $7.50 would be approximately, get ready, $16. Even if you added a special event surcharge, as was done for some 1994 games, the fare would realistically sit between $20 and $25. In 1994, the federal government and FIFA viewed transit as a public service to be subsidized, not a cost recovery mechanism for the state. All right, let's talk about stadium parking. The biggest shock for a 1994 fan would be the current zero parking rule. In 1994, MetLife Stadium, which is the current name, by the way, they're not allowed to use that name during the World Cup because somehow FIFA has a line about corporate naming of stadiums. But you know what? You're not allowed to have any kind of sponsorship of any of the games with any local businesses because McDonald's has the exclusive. So if you try that, FIFA will come down hard on you. Yeah, it's disgusting. So anyway, MetLife Stadium, which was then known as Giant Stadium, had roughly 25,000 general parking spots available for fans. And tailgating, you know, the fun thing that happens before games, that was not only allowed, but encouraged. In 2026, you would likely pay a premium, perhaps $80 to $100 with 1994 prices, but you would be parking at the stadium, not a mile away at a mall. And that's because the security perimeter in 1994 was a fraction of what it is today. Fans could drive right up to the gates because the threat of vehicle-based attacks wasn't the primary focus of stadium design. Yeah, we live in a different world now. The federal government was much more aggressive in supporting the 1994 World Cup as a national showcase. The federal government provided massive in-kind support and direct grants that covered a huge portion of the operational and security infrastructure. Adjusting for 2026, if the federal government matched the 1994 level of commitment relative to the size of the event, New Jersey would have received closer to $200 million in federal aid. And that would have completely wiped out that $48 million deficit we discussed, making the $150 train fare unnecessary. You know, you see how it works. A little support goes a long way. So, yeah, it's going to be a disaster. It really is. Look for a lot of empty seats. I don't think many people are going to go to the Norway-Suriname game, if I even have that right. It's just sad. It really is, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, even though it happened in 1994. We're just getting really, really bad taste in exchange. This is an opportunity for kids to be inspired by international football, and instead what they're seeing is how corrupt and ugly it can be. And I'm not talking about on the field. I'm talking about the people running the organizations. It's just sad and discouraging. And, you know, seeing it on TV is probably a whole lot more comfortable.
Yeah, it takes a lot of the enjoyable parts of activities like that. It takes them out of what the actual experience is. And I think it's kind of opportunistic. And I don't know. I think entertainment at all in difficult times, it really should follow through on the production value, you know, the level of quality that you're offering, because people really are, like, you know, making ends meet, and anything extra to do something like this as a sort of leisure activity, it can be pretty unattainable as is, just to get the logistics, you know, the transportation and accommodations, as well as the event costs. Like, that's just, it's out of reach for so many people, and to run people through that, it really does feel like a hustle, and it's just mean.
Yeah, and the thing is, FIFA is projected to make $11 billion from this. $11 billion. So no matter how you feel about who should pay for the trains or the parking or any of that, They could wipe this out with a snap of their fingers and not feel it at all, but they will not do that because they are a corrupt organization that is just about getting the money. So, yeah, that's making it super unpleasant and super costly to so many people. And, yeah, I can't imagine it ever being welcomed in this country again after this. And, it doesn't end there either. Every day I see something else. This has to do with the teams that use the stadiums, normally. For the teams that have employees at the stadiums hosting World Cup games, many will be moved. Those who are staying put will be subject to FIFA credentialing to get into their own workplaces. New York Giants will start training camp in West Virginia, since MetLife Stadium will be hosting the final match on July 19th on a grass field that will need to be removed and replaced with one of the worst artificial surfaces in the entire league. But that's a whole other story. Deal with that. Owners with stadiums that don't have grass have bent over backwards to do what they have to do to placate FIFA. Their regular employees, however, will still be stuck with a lesser and far cheaper playing surface. So, FIFA rolls into town, makes all these demands, and there's nothing you can do about it. All right, that's all I got to say about that. If somebody gave me tickets to the World Cup, I would consider that, a bill that they're giving me. You have to spend all this money to take a train. And there's no other way. Well, actually, I did discover another way. And I'll let USB listeners know about this. You can take a bus from the Port Authority to that mall. It's called the American Dream Mall in wherever it is in New Jersey. It's more like American Nightmare, but American Dream Mall. There is a bus that goes from Port Authority to there for regular New Jersey Transit fare. Now, I imagine it's going to be rather competitive to get a seat on one of those buses. But if you're aggressive, you can probably do it. And then once you get there, you simply have to make your way to the stadium, which is about a mile walk. Yeah, it's incredible that they make everybody do that. But that's how it is. I think that's the only way. Anything else, I looked into this and they've thought of everything. You can't take an earlier train. They won't let you do that. Can you walk to East Rutherford? I guess you could walk there from somewhere else. Why not? Walk 5 miles, go to Secaucus or Newark or somewhere. Or yeah, just hitch. Don't try Uber. Forget that. That's going to be a disaster. Or just stay home and watch it on TV, Look at all the empty seats. All right, that's it. That's enough. What we got here? Our friend, Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman. He's being sent to a farm upstate. Don't look so happy, Kyle. No, he went up to... he already went up to the farm. He went to an upstate farm to criticize solar energy. He went up there to criticize solar energy. My God. He's running for governor, in case people don't realize that. It's part of his comedy tour. I want to be a part of every moment. So he went up to an upstate farm on Thursday to figuratively lock arms with local officials... in opposition to large-scale solar developments. And why is that so important to you? He promised to take steps to halt green energy projects if elected governor. Because that's what people want. They want an end to the environment. They want an end to a lack of pollution. We need more smoke in the air. Tell them, Bruce, yes. Blakeman, the Nassau County executive, who has brought nothing but hell to that county, said big solar projects intrude on local landscapes. On that I have to agree, because if you see a bunch of solar panels, you're not seeing a smokestack. You're not seeing a factory belching all kinds of chemicals into the air, you know? And that's not fair. That's not fair. He said also these solar projects don't make sense upstate because the region doesn't get enough regular sunlight throughout the year. Maybe it's because of all the smoke. But you know what? I think the sun makes its way up there too. You know? I even saw the sun in Canada once. Here in New York, it just doesn't make any sense, he said. Near the gravel road running in front of Hessian Hill Farm, with a herd of sheep providing a steady background baaing. Whoever wrote this article in Newsday, having some fun here. Yeah, there were a bunch of sheep in the background, and he's not referring to the people who came to see him. Actual sheep were there. It was the latest instance of Blakeman emphasizing energy development and rising energy prices in his campaign against Governor Kathy Hochul. Not only does Blakeman oppose the green energy projects, he said his policy would be drill, baby, drill, meaning he would end New York's ban on natural gas fracking in upstate communities. That's what we need, fracking here in New York. We didn't get to have any of that fun. And as we reported here the last couple of weeks, Blakeman didn't fill out the forms right when he was registering to run for governor. So he was denied the chance to get public matching funds. And now his friends in the GOP are stepping up for him. The two top Republican state legislators have proposed a new bill yesterday that would give Blakeman a do-over to apply for public matching funds. They proposed an entire bill to give this guy a second chance to fill out a form. Now, those are friends. Those are stand-up guys there. The measure would compel the Public Campaign Finance Board to essentially accept an amended application from Blakeman and his running mate, Madison County Sheriff Todd Hood, to correct a filing error. Yeah, Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort of Niagara County and Assembly Minority Leader Edward Ra, a Republican of Garden City South, said Blakeman shouldn't be disqualified because of what they view as a paperwork error. But isn't that exactly why you would be disqualified? Because of a paperwork error? I mean, that's kind of how paperwork works. Here's where I take issue. Because I actually said, you know what, Governor Hochul, you should step in here and take pity on the guy and say, yeah, give him a chance. He has no chance anyway. Be the bigger person. But you realize that they would never do that if the shoe were on the other foot. They would never, ever make an exception if it didn't benefit them. So this guy Ort from Niagara County said the decision by the PCFB was clearly flawed. You see, now this is the problem. Obviously, the decision was the correct decision. You fill out the paperwork wrong, you get denied. But they're saying because it happened to Blakeman, the decision is what's flawed, not Blakeman's ability to fill out paperwork. Okay, so decision was clearly flawed, and we are putting together a common sense solution to fix this issue. Common sense, yes, let's just change the rules to benefit us. Up to $3.5 million in public matching funds for Blakeman is riding on the outcome, funds that could prove crucial in his bid to unseat Governor Kathy Hochul. I don't think there's enough money in the world, but whatever. In a nutshell, the board said it received an application from Blakeman when, per a new state law, it should have received a joint certification application from both Blakeman and Hood. But Blakeman only filled out his name, not the other guy's name. The board said Republicans were aware of the issue and that Blakeman failed to correct the problem by the deadline. He's already sued the PCFB, seeking to undo the decision and claiming he complied with the spirit of the law. Yeah, that's all you need to do. Comply with the spirit of the law. The law itself be damned. Separately, the Ort-Ra, it's a weird combination, but that's their names. The Ort-Ra legislation would create a 7-day window for Blakeman to refile. 7 days to fill out the paperwork. Wow. How about you just make it so he doesn't have to fill it out at all, you know? We know all the answers. Let's give him a break. The chances of a Democrat-led legislature backing the bill are slim, but Republicans are trying to keep the issue alive. Mike Murphy is spokesman for the Democratic Senate Conference. He noted the juxtaposition of Republicans opposing the creation of public matching funds in the first place and then fighting to obtain them. For a conference that wholeheartedly opposed public campaign financing, it's pretty funny, he said. But we'll look at the bill. I added that part, but yeah. I'm sure he chortled after that. All right. What else do we have here? Environmental fund. Trump administration last Thursday proposed weakening rules for the disposal of ash produced by burning coal that can contain hazardous heavy metals and contaminate groundwater. In other words, the Trump administration came down on the side of burning coal with hazardous heavy metals and contaminated groundwater. That's the goal. Those regulations were strengthened under the Biden administration as part of a wider crackdown on pollution from coal-fired power plants. And regulations that control pollution are now considered to be bad. The Trump administration proposed easing the standards for monitoring and protecting groundwater near some coal ash sites, rolling back rules that require the cleanup of entire coal properties rather than just the sites where ash was dumped. The revisions would also make it easier to reuse coal ash for other purposes. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin from Long Island, former representative, said the proposal reflects the agency's commitment to restoring American energy dominance, strengthening cooperative federalism, and accommodating unique circumstances at certain coal facilities. He's the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, and none of that has to do with preserving the environment. Restoring America's energy dominance, strengthening cooperative federalism, and accommodating unique circumstances at coal facilities. Yeah. By the way, I saw this story go by, which fascinated me, concerning Lee Zeldin. This was from the New Republic, and I think I only have to read the headline. Lee Zeldin is the most lethally boring man in the Trump administration. Yeah. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lee Zeldin is reportedly being considered to replace Pam Bondi as Attorney General. God help us all if that happens. He's not the most polarizing member of the Trump administration, not by a long shot, yet he's one of the most dangerous. We've been trying to warn people of this for such a long time. And now look. In contrast to the... I'm going to read a little bit of this because it's just so well written. In contrast to the mutant plastic view of Kristi Noem, you probably can't call up a visual mental image of Zeldin's eminently forgettable face. It's also hard to call to mind any memorable utterances by Zeldin. Very true. That's an achievement in a crowd that normally will not shut up. Consider, for example, Pete Hegseth. Let's just leave it at that. At one point in 2022, when then-Congressman Zeldin ran for governor of New York and a violent attacker interrupted one of his campaign events, commentators noted that the unfortunate incident could help him by increasing his name recognition. A Siena poll that year found that 57% of New Yorkers either did not know who he was or had no opinion of him. I think now you should have an opinion of him because of all the harm he has caused by polluting the air, by getting rid of regulations that are meant to protect the environment, all sorts of horrible things. These people are doing bad things and hurting all of us. You know, it's It's really something. Kyle's back from his field trip.
Yes. And surely it's just so strange. I mean, surely we all realize how energy policy shouldn't necessarily be the purview of someone running an environmental agency. It just seems like the priorities of that agency shouldn't be about restoring anything with energy. It should be regulating the energy sector. But that's, I think, self-explanatory.
Yeah, and the House of Representatives scheduled to vote Wednesday on a cluster of amendments to the Endangered Species Act that conservationists say will seriously undermine its powers to protect vulnerable species. Every day, they dismantle something else. This bill is sponsored by Representative Bruce Westerman, an Arizona Republican, and will roll back the procedural safeguards that ensure listed species won't be killed or harmed. It will allow exemptions to the law if the administration decides national security or economic interests are at stake. Economic interests. That's a Trump golf course or hotel or something like that. It's disgusting. I had so many stories. They all get mixed up. But, you know, I saw something in a story about the various congressional races here on Long Island. And it one of the statements in the story just stated as fact that the race for the first congressional district, currently held by Nick LaLota, is not considered competitive. It's not considered competitive because, well, they didn't say why. They didn't say why at all. They just said it's not competitive. You have a guy here, doesn't even live in the district, is a renowned liar, claims credit for things he has nothing to do with, has basically stolen from people who live here by claiming that he is giving back money that was taken by the Trump administration, when in fact he has agreed to hold on to this, I mean, give back money for a little bit, and then forever have the, I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately. I wish I had that story. But basically, he is deceiving people. It's very easy to prove. And this is somebody who is not considered competitive. You can't unseat somebody in a district that has voted Democratic so many times, in a district that has more Democrats than Republicans. Yeah. It's disgusting. It really is that we're even having this conversation.
Are you talking about the clawbacks?
I forget what it's called.
Re-clawback or something?
It's got an acronym.
It sounds like the opposite of what you're saying, though.
Yeah, I wish I could remember exactly what it was. But he made a big deal of getting it. I think it was for people, homeowners over $10,000. You can deduct this from your taxes. And Trump got rid of that. And he said, yeah, I got it back for you. Except what he doesn't tell you is that it all goes away in a few years. So, you know, you get it for a little bit, but then either it gets reduced or eliminated completely. I'm sorry I don't have all the facts on it. It's impossible to keep track of all these things. But you see the ads, and this is driving me crazy because, you know, you watch YouTube videos and they inject ads everywhere, and all these Soviet-style ads basically saying that Nick LaLota is the savior. Thank you, Nick LaLota. Just bow down to him. If you don't realize you're being deceived, I don't know what it's going to take. I really don't. You know, you don't have to be enthused by somebody else, but at least know when you're being lied to. So to say that particular race is not competitive. How? How is that possible in a place where people have voted Democratic so many times? How is it that there's considered no chance of unseating this guy? Formerly Lee Zeldin's seat, too, by the way. So, you know, we're better than that. We really are. And when you consider what happens here on Long Island affects the entire country because of the closeness of Republican and Democrat in the House of Representatives. We're talking about two or three seats, you know? That is something that could change right here on Long Island. So we need to get a bit more aggressive and loud and hopeful. Look, even, you see this today, Tucker Carlson, this is on NBC News, Tucker Carlson apologizes for misleading people on Trump. We're implicated in this for sure. If he can get it right, then there's hope for all of us. There really is. He expressed regret over supporting President Donald Trump, saying in a video released yesterday that he would be tormented by it for a long time. Deservedly so. He apologized for misleading people. What did it take exactly? Well, maybe it was the war. Maybe it was the economy. I don't know. Take your pick. But one thing is for sure, you didn't listen to anybody else. Didn't look at the facts. Now, suddenly, you're a convert. Okay, you know, whatever. I'll fight with you, but I won't ever trust you. So, yeah, change is possible. And we can get the message out to lots and lots of people if we are consistent, if we try. But we have to do better. We all have to do better because things are just not going well. Not going well globally, not going well environmentally, not going well economically. So, yeah, I hope that we can be positive, optimistic, all that. We're out of time. OTW@2600.com is our email address. And we will be back next week. Please support the station. Go to WUSB.FM and pledge whatever you can afford. We'll see you next week. Major Tom.